Good morning, we're Masechet Gittin Daf Lamed Zayin. And we're starting right at the bottom of Lamed Vav Amud Bet, my Puzbul. So I want to dedicate the shiur this morning, Le'ilui Nishmat, Elisha Antman, Ariel Masud, Nachman Shmuel Murdoff, and Ofer Feynman, who were killed in the Pigu and Eli. It should be an Ilui for their Neshama. This, I think, is their second day of Shiva. Okay, so my Puzbul. So Gemara is like, as we saw yesterday, we spoke about Puzbul and how Puzbul works, etc., etc., etc. The question is, what does Puzbul, where's the word Puzbul come from? Well, my Puzbul. So Amar Rav Chisda, he says, Pros, Buli, Ubuti. Pros. So Rashi says over here, Pros, Takana. Now, a Takana seems to be like something which was done, Letovat Mashu, for the good purposes of both the Buli and the Buti. On the Rashi, on the Amud, on Amud Lamed Zayin, Amud Aleph, tells over there, Buli Vabuti, Rashi says, Ashirim Va'ani'im. Okay, so that's quite an interesting comment. And Ashirim Va'ani'im, both to the betterment of the rich and to the poor. Look at Rashi, Ashirim Shlo Yafsidu, the rich, they won't lose their money. Va'ani'im Shlo Yinalu Delet Bifneim, and the poor, they won't lock the door in front of them, they'll still have access to credit. If the rich won't lend their money because they're scared they're going to lose their money, they won't have money. So the rich are guaranteed, lend money, and we won't worry, you'll get your money back. And the poor know that there's still going to be people who lend their money. Right? And Rashi, and back in the Gemara, Eilu Ashrim Dikhtiv, so Buli. We said, Puz Buli Vabuti. Right? Puz Buli Buti. In Afrikaans, you got Buti, is like my little brother. It's like a slang word, but. Call a guy, like in Hebrew you say, Achi. In Afrikaans, you say boot. I don't know too much Afrikaans, but I know a few of those words, right? So this is bully and booty. So the booty is the poor one, right? The booty, right? So it says elu ashirim. Dicht bully is the ashirim. Dichti v'shavarti et go'onus chem. V'tani Rav Yosef on v'shavarti et go'on. What does it mean go'onus chem? He says elu bolaot shebe Yehuda. The bolaot. So look at Rashi there. The rich in Yehuda. So when the Pasuk says, Veshavarti et Gaon Uzchem, I will break the Gaon, like meaning the I think Gaon Uzchem, like the how haughty, right? So he says, the Bolaot, translate Bolaot. So in Aramaic, and it comes from on some other Loazi word, we'll see in a moment, the Gemara uses the term Loazi avia. And Buti Elu Ani'im, Dichtiv Ha'avat Tavitenu, Ha'avet Tavitenu, right? That's the guarantee that you take. And Rosh Tukarashi, Umihen Alovim Ani'im, who's providing the guarantees over here? It's the poor, loaner, the borrower who's lending the money. He said, "Okay, Amale Rava Lelauza." You see that? So Rava said to a lauza, "What's a lauza?" Look at Rashi, lauza. Third line, Rashi, "She'enom leber b'lashon ivri hu lauza." Someone who can't speak Hebrew, he's called a lauza. He's from the word loaz, right? Loazi. He speaks a foreign language. So he says he's the guy who speaks the language that the word prusbul comes from, whichever language that is. Is there Steinsaltz there which tells us, normally tells us, I didn't look this morning, is it Greek or Latin? Where's it Greek? Greek. So was talking about it. Right, Greek. So he spoke to a Greek guy when he said, yeah, he spoke to Loaza and he said, he wants prusbul, and Amarle Pursa de Milta. It means a takana of something. That's what Rashi says over here. Purs is a takana. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Now we get back. So we took a break for a moment to understand what is Puzbul. Now we know what Puzbul means. It's a takana for the rich and the poor. The Gemara now quotes the Gemara in Baba Kama. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Yetomin ein chichin Puzbul. Orphans don't need Puzbul. Which is quite interesting. When we say that Yetomim don't need Puzbul, right? We mean not that if they... That when they lend money, it's when they borrow money, it's when they, if they lent money, if their father lent money to somebody and died, the Yetomim don't have to write to Puzbul to get their money back. Their money's safe. Right? V'chein tari Rabbi Barachama. Yetomin ain't shechin Puzbul. Look at Rashi. Savi ain't shechin Puzbul. She'ain shvit meshamet et chov shla vihen amet. The shmita won't knock out their dead father's debts. Right? Rabban Gamliel Ubeit Dino, look at that. Rabban Gamliel Ubeit Dino. So Rashi points out, why Dafka Rabban Gamliel? He says, anybody, Rabban Gamliel is the euphemism for the Nasi. He says, Klomar Nesi'ei Yisrael Shebechol Dor Vador. The Nesim in every generation, Avien Shel Yotomin. That's an amazing statement, that, eh? They are the Avihen Shel Yatomim. They consider, in other words, their fathers are there. They're the ones that worry about the Prusbul. They might not even need a Bruk Rashi. Umemunim aleihem v'mamonam, and they're the custodians for them, for the Yatomim, for their money. Vayushitrotehen kemesurim lebetin, and these shitreichov, these letters of debt, are as if they were handed over to Beitin without being handed over to Beitin. It's built into the Prusbul process that the Yatomim don't have to actually, they don't know how to do it, so they wouldn't know how to do it. People could take advantage of them, right? And the Rashi says, "How did Nakat Rabban Gamliel? Why do we mention Dafka Rabban Gamliel? She abeitino kayam benoeg, kishnishnet mishnezok. Because when this mishnah was written, Rabban Gamliel and his beitin were the ones who were running the show. When this mishnah was written, obviously a very early mishnah. There's a Rebbe to write this. It talks about the Rebbe compiled the mishnah. So he ran around and found people who had written down mishnayot, etc. Because people had been writing down privately. So this was already an understanding of when Rabban Gamliel was alive. Even that's what he means over here." But Rami Bar Chama, and Rami Bar Chama, who quotes it, he's quoting a brighter. So look at that. It says over here, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Yatomin HaChin, Brutal V'chen, Tani Rami Bar Chama, in a brighter. So what Shmuel was saying was already known in the brighter, Yatomin HaChin, Brutal. The Rav Gamliel Beit Novi Henshel Yatomin. I think that's the most beautiful comment in the Gemara. Okay, not at it. Where is it now? We learned in the Gemara, it's a Mishnah. We've been quoting Mishnayot in Masechet Shvit all this time, because remember the Prusbul talking about Shemitah. So where do we know about the debts from Shemitah? We know that's from Shemitah, from Masechet Shvit, which discusses Shemitah here. That's why all these Mishnah we've seen here come out as Masechet Shvit. Dan Hatam ain't quoting Prusbul Ela Ala Karka. Now, in order to write the Prusbul, you have to own land. So now the person who's borrowing the money, he has to be a landowner. Why does it be a landowner? Because at the end of the day, most of the people in times of Chazal, they lived on land. And they say, what was really, when a guy lent you money, why would he lend you money? Because he knew that you had a hard asset guaranteeing your money. Now, if you were just, a trader and you had a couple of bottles of perfume in your stock, so the bottles could break, the perfume could evaporate, no real guarantee. You got land, okay, you got land, I'm happy to lend you money, and I always got a place to get my money back. So over here, Ela al karkas, you have to have land. Look at Rashi, Yemiash karka lelove. So at the time, most of the loan documents were supported by land. Something which was very common. Rashi says, it's a very important principle Rashi said now. Because when do Chachamim make takanot? We've always said that if that isn't shachich, if those things aren't common, then Chachamim don't make takanas on them. So it's not common to lend money to a guy who hasn't got land. It's not common to make a takana if things are people lending money without underlying sources. It all goes together. So Prusbul is intertwined with the concept that you own land. What, Robert?
The lender is writing the Prusbul
because the lender, at the end of the day, is the guy who wants his loan to be secured.
Right.
So he writes the Prusbul. But he won't write the Prusbul unless the guy, in other words, it seems to me over here that if the borrower hasn't got land, so then what's the Prusbul going to, when I hand over my debt to Beit Din, I've got to hand over my debt substantiated by something. So if I had a mortgage on a guy's property and into the money, I can then give a Prusbul.
When we do a Prusbul, we're doing some general statement. You don't do it for particular.
So we'll see in a moment now how broad it is. So we're starting now, big picture. We're actually starting detail. Detail is that there has to be land. Okay, now let's start looking into it like a bit more in detail. Now, exactly what you're saying now is going to, the Gemara's going to discuss it now. So he says, yeah, ain't kotvin prusbul ela la karka. So that's like sounds like very bombastic. The next stage of the Mishnah says, im ain lo, and if he hasn't got land, the lender, the borrower, so what do? Mezakehu betoch sadel shel koshu. Then I'll give you a bit of land because we want to be able to run a Prusbul if you haven't got land. But Prusbul's tied to the land. So I'll give you a little bit of land of mine. Okay, now what? Now you've got land, which is afuch and afuch, right? Because I want the land to secure my debt. But I'm actually giving you my land so you can have a Prusbul because Prusbul was instituted in the first place only with guys who had land. So how do we make it now proud of guys who haven't got land? I'll give you a bit of my land. The Gemara says, "V'kama kolshu." How much is that kolshu? So Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Rabashi, Amar Rabbi, afilu kelach shel kruv, even enough just to grow a little cabbage. That's how big it is. Okay. So now Amar Rabbi Yehuda goes even one stage further. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, afilu hishilu makom letanur v'lekirayim, even I lent you place to put your oven or your stove on my land, that's good enough. Even I lent you place on my, I don't have to give it to you, but I lent you place. Right? So Gemara says, really? Any Vatna Hatani Hillel. Now Rashi points out Hillel Aviyah is an Amora. Vatani Hillel. Rashi is Hillel the Amora. I think I saw Rashi say it has to be an Amora, but anyhow. Yeah, Hatani Hillel Amora have Rashi says. And Kotrin Prusbol Ela Alatzitz Nakuv Bilvad. You only write the Prusbol on an Atzitz Nakuv Bilvad. What do you mean Atzitz Nakuv Bilvad? We know that Atzitz Nakuv Bilvad. Atzitz Nakuv means a suckling from the land, right? Which means that you've got place over there, it has to be Nakuv. Right, so what do you mean? And look at Rashi. What's our kash? What's the kash over here? Shehu mechubar, the choshek and al karka atzmo im shelohi. So it means that you have to have proper land. What do you mean? Just to lend you place, my place with my tanur. It seems like atzitz nakuv means that it's your land. That's what it seems to be. Why dafka the atzitz nakuv? The Gemara says no. Nakuv, nakuv yovai, nakuv in shel nakuv lo. The Gemara says amai vayikem akomo. Why do I need then to say it has to be nakuv, even if it's not nakuv? And just put my tits on the ground. It's already placed. I've given you a place to put your tits. So what's it putting my tits there? Putting your oven there. Why does it have to be in a kuv dafka, which implies that you actually have to own the land? Was the Lord Chicha? That's for different reason. The mana chasicha. That's if you gave a guy a tits, but it wasn't on the ground. It was on stilts or on pegs. Rashi says tadot. It was suspended. It wouldn't actually be on the ground. Then in order to be considered attached to the ground, it have to be in a kuv because it cycles from the ground. Okay, but if it wasn't suspended on the ground, then even not nakuv would be good enough. So we see over here, bottom line, we start off saying you have to have land. Then we said, if you haven't got land, give the guy land. Don't even give him the land, just let him put his oven or tanur there. And if you don't even give him to put it on the land physically and it's suspended above the land, that's also good enough as long as there's a hole in it. Basically, we found a solution for everybody who hasn't even got land to be able to write the prosbo. Rav Ashi, maknele gidmed the dikka. Rav Ashi, Gemara gives examples of here. Rav Ashi, what would he do? He'd give the borrower, he'd even give him gidmer, says a gezer dekel katzut, a chopped down palm tree, the trunk of a palm tree, the trunk is still attached to the ground. That's yours. It was it's nothing can grow in it. Still good enough. And then gave the guy a prosbo. So the guy can't worry money from him. Never said you got any land. No, okay, you know what? You see that dead trunk over there? That's yours now. And now he went to write a prosbo. Okay, Rabbanan de Rav Ashi, Mashre Milal, the Gemara is another interesting opinion of, yeah? That Rabbanan de Rav Ashi, in Rav Ashi's Beit Midrash, we see how Rav Ashi himself, how liberal he was with the trunk of a tree. That was with an external guy, but in his Beit Midrash, he was Bank Tamalei Chachamim, Mashre Milayu Lahad. They didn't even write the Prusbo. They just gave an undertaking to each other. Look at Rashi, Mashre Milayu, Beloktiv HaPrusbo, I'm writing a Prusbo. They said like this to their friends, Hare Atem Beitin. Says to put three guys together, you're a baitin. I'm handing over my debt to you to cause munchies. Whenever I want you to collect it, go collect it. Now, if you notice, the language in Prusbol is a little bit contradictory because the guy says to baitin, I'm handing over my debt to you to collect whenever I want you to collect it. You notice that a few times we've seen that. Mataishi Erze. He's not saying to baitin, he has the debt, you go collect when you want to collect it. He says, Mataishi Erze. Which I don't know why, but it sounds like he's still retaining a little bit of control. In other words, Beitin will come to him and say, can we collect the debt now? Which is not 100% absolutely giving over the debt. Because at the end of the day, when Beitin do collect it, they collect it on my behalf. It just doesn't become law yigos because the borrower hasn't got dealings with me. He's got dealings with Beitin. But I'm still sort of in charge. Okay, so that's why it's only a Durabanan story. This whole thing going to Durabanan now. We understand because we saw in the Gemara yesterday that really the purpose of the Prusbol wasn't really to be it's much less than Mechirat Chometz. Okay, I always thought that Prusbol was like Mechirat Chometz. It's actually much less than Mechirat Chometz because Mechirat Chometz, even though we're saying that, we try to get around the issue of Pesach, but we're saying it's a proper sale. Here, nobody thinks you need it. On the contrary, you don't need it. So why do we have it? Because we don't want you to forget about Shmita. So we go and we say, you know what? Shmita meshametet, but write a Prusbol. And writing the Prusbol is actually the bigger way of getting you to remember that there's such a thing as Shmita than without writing a Prusbol. So it's more of an educational experience if you think about it. The idea of writing a Prusbol becomes an educational experience a lot less than trying to get out of a Doraita. There's no Doraita. So we don't need a Prusbol. I can go and get the money back. There's no lawyer God doesn't apply. How do we make people remember that there's Shmita by making the right of Prusbol? So the more I think about it, I thought about this whole day yesterday, not the whole day, this is my subconscious during the day yesterday, I thought about it a few times, that the Shmita is actually an educational experience. Shmita is education, a Prusbol. Write a prosbul so you don't forget. It doesn't do anything really. That's why I can say to Beit Din, Mataisha Eretze, when I want you to give it back. It's still my debt. No one's hiding behind the fact that it's not really my debt. With Mechirat Chometz, we say, it's not my Chometz. I sold it to a goy. And in theory, the goy comes into my house and says, where's my Chometz? I've got to say, there it is. It's in my lounge. Go take it. With prosbul, no one's saying it's not my debt. It's my debt. So why is it not all your goss? Because really, think about it, I think that's masfar. And yeah, let's carry on.
Could it then be at the beginning of the year as opposed to the end of the year?
Okay, wait. Stick with that guy. Wait a second, we're going to get to that. Okay, we're going to get there. Okay, we're going to get there. Okay. So Steve says, if it's only education, then why the beginning of the year? Why not the end of the year? Why the end of the year? Why the beginning of the year? Okay, so there might be an answer coming on the Amud Bet. Maybe. Let's keep that question in mind. Okay. Talk about and Lord Karka. So then now the Gemara gets bright. You see how extensive we go. Now the Gemara is like this. Taran ain't lo bright karka. The brighter says, if he hasn't got karka, v'la arev lesh your karka, but the guarantor, the guy who's the guarantor for this borrower, kot v'la la prusbul, then you write the prusbul on that. Right? Lo, v'la arev, and karka, neither he, nor the guy who's guaranteeing the loan, right? He has got karka. V'la chayav lo, yesh lo karka, but he's got someone who owes him money. So Chaim's borrowing money from Reuven. And Chaim hasn't got land. And Chaim's guarantor, his brother, also hasn't got land. But Shmuel owes him money, and that guy's got land, right? Because we don't have prusbul. We're okay, so it's fine, because at the end of the day, there's somebody who owes, you owe me money, and he owes you money, so really, I can go to him if I want, because he owes you, and you owe me. So if he's got land, we can write the prusbul as well. We're Rabbi Natan. We're from Rabbi Natan. The Gemara says, "Yeah, from Rabbi Natan." We're from Masechet Psachim. Psachim. The Tari Rabbi Natan Omer, "Minayin Noshev b'chaveru mani b'chaveru b'chaveru minayin shemotzin mani mizev not nidezeh." How do we know that if you owe somebody money and he owes me the money, I can go straight to you and take it from you and short circuit the whole process? Tamud Omar v'Natan l'asher asham lo. Okay, we've got a limud. Therefore, at the end of the day, the guy who owes you money and I, we actually do have a connection because in theory, I can go to him and get the money that he owes you if you owe it to me. I don't think you can do that in law today, right? I don't think that you can do that. If someone owes somebody else money and he owes you money, you can't go to that guy and say, don't pay him, pay me. I don't think you can do that. You've got to sue him and he's going to sue him, right? Come on, it's like a snan hatem.
Can I just, are we saying that the prusbul actually says who owes what to whom?
I don't think so. I think that as long as we know that there's someone in this whole chain has got land, we can write a prusbul.
No, but I'm saying you don't
think
specify the borrower.
We don't. The prusbul that we've signed every year just says that you hand over to Beit Din your debts to collect.
Yeah.
I've never seen a specific debt with written to prusbul.
Because it seems to be that you specify.
No, I don't think it's specified. Just we want to know that there's land. In other words, we're trying to give it substance. So the sub, because the takana was based on land, you want to know that in this process somebody's got land. Because at the end of the day, my debt is normal, like Rashi said, normal starot were secured by land. The takana was made about people lending money in a normal way, normal ways with land. So let's try and make sure that when I write a prusbul, the borrower has got land. If he hasn't got land, his guarantor's got land. If he hasn't got land, at least the guy who has his money's got land. Let's just know that there is land at the end of the end of the tunnel. And that's what he's saying. Right? Now not that mashvit b'shamet el amalvi. So now the Mishnah stuck is mashvit b'shamet el amalvi ben mishtar ben shlomishtar. So the Shemitah is Meshamet et Amalvi Zakasha Aviyah. Right? Ashvit Meshamet et Amalvi Bein Beshtar Bein Shlo Beshtar. And so it sees whether there's a document or isn't a document. So Rabu Shmuel Damet Arvayu Beshtar. So now we get to understand. What does it mean with the bright to the Mishnah over here? Beshtar Ubelo Beshtar. With a document, without a document. A contract. So Rabu Shmuel Damet Arvayu say Beshtar. What does Beshtar mean? Shtar Sheyesh Bo Achrayut Nechasim. Like we understand, a regular contract that has guarantees on it. And shelo b'shtar, she'en b'achayit nechassim. Right? So the word shmita will meshamete, whether your loan is a written loan with guarantees or a written loan without land underlying it, right? Without achrayut. And shmita will wipe those things out. So if shmita can knock out a loan which has got a written contract, kol she'ken mil v'alpeh. How much more so? If you lend somebody money without a contract, shmita's going to knock it out. If you haven't got a prusbul, right? Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon, Ben Lakish, the Amrei Tarvai, they say differently. They say, how do they explain this Mishnah here? Shtar. Shtar means Shtar She'en Bo Achrayut Nechassim. That's what Shtar means. They take it more literally. Shtar, V'shelo B'shtar. And what Shelo B'shtar? Mil Ve'al Peh. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, Shtar is like Shtar. You got a contract without Achrayut. And Shelo B'shtar means orally. And Aval Shtar, She'esh Bo Achrayut Nechassim, Edom Meshamet. So we got a machloket, an important machloket, Rabbi Shmuel. and Rav Rabbi Yochanan is Lakish. By the way, we know the Halacha, right? Halacha Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha Rabbi Yochanan. Right? Interesting, yeah, Rav Shmuel comes first. You see that? And then Rabbi Yochanan is Lakish. And the Halacha is like the last one. Okay, but that's just an aside. That's a project in work. But yeah, so what's the machloket over here? The machloket is, according to Rav and Shmuel, if you've got a, even ba'achrayut, Shmitas knocks it out. According to Rabbi Yochanan, if you've got a contract with achrayut, shtar ba'achrayut, Shmitas, you don't need a puzzle, Shmitas doesn't knock it out. All right, Cliff, you're trying to confuse me there. So that seems to be pretty straightforward. And the Gemara is another brighter. It also supports Rabbi Yochanan. What do you mean, siyem lo? Rashi says over here, siyem lo halove lemalve. So now the borrower came to the lender and demarcated his field for him. He said, look, this is the field. These are the borders. That's yours. Right? So there it seems to be achrayu to the star. And yeah, it gives you lots of guarantees. Not daf on a specific field, but across the board, a blanket guarantee. Okay? So that seems to be, I thought it was actually a kashya, not a kashya. That's just a Mishnah. Machloket Rabbi Yochanan is Lakish, and two brides support Rabbi Yochanan. He was like a Krivei Rav Asi. So Krivei is not his name, a relative, I think. Rashi says over here that Krivei Rav Asi, he's Huaya Hamalve. So Krivei Rav Asi, Havelei Hahushtara. Dava Kativ Bei Achrayot Nechasim. So Atla came to Rav Asi. So now this relative of Rav Asi, he was the lender. He came to ask Rav Asi a question. He had a star which had a chayit in it. Amar le meshamet el meshamet. Amar le meshamet. So Rav Asi said, look, it doesn't meshamet. It's fine. You got a star with a chayit, it doesn't meshamet. Who does that sound like? That sounds like Rabbi Yochanan, correct? Rabbi Yochanan said, star ba chayit and a meshamet. Rav and Shmuel said, even a star ba chayit meshamet, correct? Everybody with me? Right? So now Rav Asi said, no problem, it doesn't meshamet. Right, Shav came out to come in Rabbi Yochanan. He came just, I don't know if he went asking or maybe just bumped into him because you don't got to ask two chachamim the same shayla, right? And I said to Rabbi Yochanan, Amalei Meshamet, does Meshamet. What's going on over here, Rabbi Yochanan? You were the one a moment ago who said, that Shtar Bachrayut and a Meshamet doesn't grow up out of it. So after Asi, he came to Rabbi Yochanan. Asi knew this, came to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, what's going on? Amalei Meshamet and a Meshamet, Amalei Meshamet. So Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Asi, no, it's Meshamet. So he said, well, wait a second, Hamar, but Rabbi Yochanan, who da Amar and Meshamet? You said not. So look at this answer. We've seen this type of answer before, by the way. Rabbi Yochanan made a principled decision, a svara in the Beit Midrash. Okay, it's interesting. That's why you see that Rosh Yeshiva is lav dafka posek. Okay, Rosh Yeshiva often aren't poskim. Sometimes they are. Sometimes they're huge. Shom Zaman Abachos Rosh Yeshiva. Gadol Ador, big posek Ador. But a lot of the time, Rosh Yeshiva aren't poskim. Why? Because Rosh Yeshiva, they deal with pilpul and they give svaras and they, you know, throw around ideas and tilay tilim ba'avir. To be a posek is to be able to cut through everything and give a very particular answer. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Eino meshamet." Rav Asi paskin aloch lemase based on Rabbi Yochanan saying "Eino meshamet." When Rabbi Yochanan himself was asked to shine in lemase, he said "Meshamet." So Rashi is confused. It's coming to Rabbi Yochanan. What's going on over here? Take a look at the answer. So says Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Lei, Rabbi Yochanan says Rashi, V'chi mibnei she'anu medamin, nase mase. Just because we're comparing things, in other words, we're making svaras. You're going to pass an aloha from that. Look at Rashi over here. Medamin nir'eh b'aneinu, because it seems like that's what it should be. U'ke medumin anu, and we start comparing things. We never actually ever heard our rabbi say that. We had a svara, a good svara. You're not going to take my svara that I gave in the Beit Midrash, and you're going to go paskin halacha, and now you're going to say that's eino meshamet, and now the guy who made the right to might have lost the money and the debt is cancelled. You're going to now go tell him he can grab that money on the basis of my svara. Right, that's, I think, exactly the conversation that's taking place over here. So Amar Lei, but wait a second, Rashi wasn't so happy about the Vahatanya Kivatei Demar. But we got brighters that support you. We just saw now two brighters that support you. So Amar Lei, you're right. He said, but maybe that brighter, Dilmahi Beit Shammai. That brighter, we don't know. That might be as far as Beit Shammai. Why? The Amre Shtar Homed de Gavot Kigavui Dami. Things are going Kiddushin. Now, where is that Gemara from? Chet Yavamo Ktubot Sota Shvut. Everywhere but Kiddushin. Okay. So he says that Beit Shammai is of the opinion that any time there's a shtar, that ha'omed ligavot, that you ate me'achar, ha'omed ligavot, me'achar she'shtar kasher, it's a kosher star, va'akar ke'meshubat bo. See, anytime there's a kosher contract, and the star is a kosher star, and his underlying assets, it's as if it's yours already, the land. Now, what does it mean, it's as if it's already yours? Then ma'shmita kon me'shamet. Let's follow me on this carefully. Why can't the shmita me'shamet? Because the land's already mine. It's no debt anymore. According to Beit Shammai, the moment that there's a kosher star, I lend you money, and underlying that loan is land of mine, it's as if the land's already yours. So really, I don't owe you money anymore because you've got my land. I'm on the land. You're allowing me to use my land. And I can essentially buy it back from you if I repay you the money. So therefore, there's no shmita to Meshamet, according to Beit Shammai. But Rabbi Yochanan, we don't have bright to Mappi Beit Shammai. You're right, it sounds like Masvara, but we don't have Mappi Beit Shammai, and we can't pass on Locha like it. Okay. The Gemara says, Tan Hatta, we learned in the Mishnah, we're Sabi Amasechet Shvit again. Hamalvet Chaveru Ma'ot Al Mashkon. Right, so either you lend somebody money with a mortgage, Vahamoser Shtarotav Lebeitin, or in another case, you gave your Shtar to Beitin, which is a Prusbul, and Meshamti. So it seems over here, that the one is a malvet. There's two cases here when Shmita does a meshamet. Either you wrote to Prusbul, case number two, or you had a star with achrayut. So the Gemara says, Bishlo was a star to have the Beitin, Taf said lehu Beitin. We understand the second case you gave it to Beitin because there's Beitin's din. No, and Rashi says, nah, it's no longer Elonok Shova, it's no longer Yigos. El a malvet, a mashkon, my taiba. But lending with a mortgage, why does that take it away? So Amarabim Yishum, the Taf is lay. Look what he said. What do you mean? Tov Rashi said, "If I know Noksova Tovola Klum, why is it called Tafisle?" So Amalei Abai, what are you talking about? El Mata Yoviu V'Dar B'Chatzero the Tafisle. Hachinami Dom Shabbat. If a guy lends somebody money and he lives in his, and my landlord money, and I'm living in his backyard at the same time, does that mean that it's the Tafis that I've got the backyard and therefore it's unlike? What are you talking about? He says Amalei No Shani Mashkon the Kanile. He says no, a Mashkon is very different. A mashkon is like it's already his. That's basically the way that Rabbi Yochanan said that maybe that's Beit Shammai. A mashkon, if you give me a mortgage, as if I own the property already. So how do we know that a Baal Chov is kone the mashkon, he owns it? What's this pasuk with lechat tiyet tzedakah? Follow the pasuk with me here. Lechat tiyet tzedakah. It's like it's Hashem Tashiv lo et avot kevo Hashemish. If you've got a mortgage from a poor person, you've got their blanket, you've got to give them back the blanket at night so they can sleep with a blanket. If they've only got one pair of clothes, you've got to give it in the day so that they wear those clothes. So what do you mean? It's mine. Right? What do you mean? It's the Gemara says over here, that's tiyet, ulecha tiyet staka. If you give it back to them, you're doing staka. What do you mean staka? It's theirs. No, it's not. It's yours. That mashkon is yours, you own it, and you've been doing stalker by letting them use your mashkon. So therefore, he says a mashkon, he says, mikan lebalchov shekoneh mashkon. Everybody with me on that? Follow that?
Yeah.
Right?
What
okay.
What happens if the mashkon is worth a lot more than the debt?
If the mashkon is worth a lot more than the debt, so then you'd owe him the difference. Maybe.
So it doesn't all belong to him?
No, in the meantime, all yours. But if in the end, I suppose, you want to keep it, you know, let's put it this way. In principle, we don't know it's worth much more than the debt until you realize it, until you sell it, right? At the moment, it's all speculation. So if in the end of the day, I'm just thinking with you now, we've got no real proof of what something's worth until it's sold, until there's a willing buyer to pay the price you want it to be paid, right? So at the moment, you're right. You think it's worth more, but we don't know it's worth more. So at the moment, it's all mine. Tachlis, we get to a stage where we're now going to have to prove it or not. So then, when we get to that stage and we prove it, if we find a buyer prepared to pay more, then I'll give you the difference. And if not, they're not. What if it turns out it's only less, you're going to pay me more? Maybe not, because I already bought the mashkon, and therefore haven't got a bigger claim against you either. Maybe. It's a good question, I think. I don't know if it's a, I think the answer is a bad answer either. Okay, Tnan Hata. Okay. Mishnah goes, Hamachzir. We've got a long way to go here. Got a long way to go. Hamachzir chov lechaveru b'shvit, chich shomar lo meshamet ani. A person who wants to now repay a loan, Rashi's bizman sheshvit noheget. Rashi, when the Talmud shvit is actually in place, v'avra alav shvit, and shvit, yeah, Steve, you're asking about the beginning of the, it's not an answer, but we'll see a principle of, on the beginning or the end of the shvit. Follow this Rashi with me. Listen, I'll tell you what. Follow this Rashi, the first Rashi on the Amud, just because of the din of prusbul. For no other reason whatsoever, it's for the din of prusbul. So you remember your whole life that we saw it in the Rashi. Look here. When Shvit is in place, v'avra alav Shvit, and the years Shvit is over, v'achar kach echziru. And now the guy wants to repay you the money. V'lo she'echziru b'Shvit atzma. And not when he gave it to you during Shmita. Why wouldn't that help? Dimkein lo ha'vetzarich le'meimar meshamet ani. Because if he gave you back the loan during the middle of Shmita, then you wouldn't have to say to the guy, I've written off the loan. Why? The Kaimelan ain't Shvit Meshametet Elebasofa. When does Shmita knock off the loan? At the end. It was up until the last day of Elul. Right? The loan isn't knocked out yet. The loan still exists. When does Shmita knock out the loan? Says Rashi. On the 30th of Elul. If you haven't paid the money back, that's when the loan's been wiped out. So if a guy comes to you on Rosh Chodesh, on Rosh Hashanah, not Rosh Hashanah, he comes to you, pay you back money on Rosh Hashanah. Right, he comes to you on Tzom Gedalia and says, here's my money. You're going to say, no, sorry, you don't pay me back. The money was lost. The money was wiped out because of the Shmita. When did the Shmita wipe it out? On the end. So when will we actually have to write the Prusbul? By the end of Shmita. If we write a Shmita, according to this Rashi, if we write the Prusbul on the beginning of Shmita year, it doesn't help. Because the Shmita only knocked out at the end of the Shmita. Right? In other words, any debts that I gave after that first prusbul wouldn't be part of that beginning prusbul. It might help the loans that were in place up until the time that I wrote the prusbul, but it wouldn't count for the debts after the prusbul. If I lent money to somebody after the prusbul wouldn't help. I have to write a new prusbul. So remember that. There's a Rashi there on Daf Lamed Zayin. What you remember it is, if you don't have a prusbul, you lose Lamed Zayin. You lose your money. Okay, that's how we remember that Daf. Gittin Lamed Zayin. You're a loser. Right, Lamed Zayin. Okay. So Machzor Shvit Shomer Shlo Meshamet Ani. V'im Amar Lo Afa Pichen. The guy says, no. Still, nonetheless, Afa Pichen. Look at Rashi. He wants to lachzir lecha. Yekabel emenu. Take it. Now let's see how we go. Shneimar v'zed davar hashmita. Because the pasuk says zed davar. Look at Rashi. Tzarich lomar dibur shel shmita. It's davar hashmita. Zed davar hashmita. They have to talk. So Amar Rabbah v'tali lei ad Amar Achi. And Rabbah said you can tie him up on the tree until he says afilu afal pichein. So God comes to you, say to him, listen, I'm paying back money. No. The loan's written off. Oh, okay. But he's not meant to say, okay. So nonetheless, I still want to give back the money. And if he doesn't say, I still want to give back the money, you can tie him up on the tree. Look at Rashi. Rabbah v'tali lei im haya rotzeh lomar lachzor bo. Right? If he changes his mind, he says, okay, I won't pay you. Yitlenu ala eitz. Hang him up on the tree, right? Im gavrayado, if you're able to, obviously it's Rashi, right? If you're in that position, ad da amalei af al pichein. In other words, you can force the guy to say it's a case of like maybe that's why it's in Gittin, by the way, because it's kofimoto ad shomim rotzeani. Say that we force the guy to give a get, he has to give out a ratzon. Say yeah, we can force the guy to give you the money back. You tie him up on the tree until he says, okay, I'll give you the money. Right, Adam Ari, the 80 begwas abaya, Keshuno tenlo, Alomalo, Behoviani no tenaha, Eleomalo, Shelia, Matanani no tenaha. Abaya's got a kakasha via, right, to Rabba. He says, what are you talking about, force him? It has to be a matana. A matana is not a forced, it has to be by gifts. Amar, so Rabba says to Abaya, no, Tali Lenami, you can also tie him up, Adam Arhachi. Now the girl has been told here, Abba Bar Marta. For who Abba Bar Menyumi? Remember, I made a mistake the other day. Remember, a few days ago, Abba Marta was Shmuel. Yesterday, we had Shmuel's grandson, by the way. Yesterday, remember? We had Shmuel's grandson. Okay, but yeah, Abba Bar Marta, So I saw an interesting thing. It's brought in Seder HaOlam. Seder HaOlam is a sefer which was written. I looked it up actually. I saw it in a note here. Seder HaOlam. It's written around about the 17th century, in the late 1700s. It's quite interesting. It's a sefer which had haskomas from the Netziv, from Rav Chaim Boloni's son, and from Rav and the Beit Halevi. Rav Soloveitchik, they gave us comments to safe, interesting safe, even though it's been a bit more modern day historians sort of think that there's a problem, that there's some problematic stuff in it. But Seder HaOlam, he lists, it's not going to come with like an almanac, and there's a whole thing of history, and lists all the Tanaim and Amoraim up to his time, and he goes from Adam Arishon all the way down, etc. So he says over there that this Adam, Abba Bar Marta, Shehu Abba Bar Min Yumi, but Marta could be his mother, and Minyumi could be the father. That's why he was sometimes called by his mother, sometimes called by his father. Maybe his mother was a famous person. Have a masik by Rabbi Zuzi. He owed Rabbi money. So Itinuni Hale Bishvili came to pay him back. A Shemitah. So Amalias, Rabbi says, Meshamet Ani. Now, I'm sorry, when it says Nihale Bishvili, I suppose, according to the Rashi, it means at the end of the Shemitah year, right? So he says, so he says, Meshamet Ani. So Shakina Vazel. So he got up, packed up his goods, took the money, and went home. Okay, Rabbi said, it's off. Right, so Ata Abaya, Ashkeda Avati, Rabbi Abaya arrives at Rabbi's house and sees his uncle's pretty sad. He says, What's wrong, uncle? He says to him, Amarle, Amayati, why are you sad, Mar? So I didn't call him uncle. He says, Mar, right? He called him Rav. Okay, even though he was his uncle, he had a lot of respect for him. So Amarle, Achi Abamas, he tells him the story of this Abba Bar Ben Yuma that took the money. So Azlagabe, Abaya took a law into his own hands, went to Abba Bar Marta, he went to his house. Right, Amarle. Amtat le Zuzel Amar, did you bring Rabbi money? Amale in, said yes. So Amale, Umay Amalach, says, what did he say to you? So Amale, Meshabadani, it's written off. So Amale, Vamarta, Vapichen, so did you say to him, nonetheless, I still want to pay you back, Rabbi? Amale, Lord, no. So Amale, so Abaya says to him, Via Martle, Avapichen, have a Shaklinaminach. Do you know that if you had said that, he would have taken it? Hashtemiat, I'm telling you, I live, Emma, Avapichen. Now I want you to go back to Rabbi and say, Rabbi, even though it's written off, he has the money. So he wasn't going to argue Abai, it seems like. So Azlam Tinuni Hale, Bamari Abapichain, Shakilumine, Rabbi took the money. So what did Rabbi say about this story? He says, Amar lo have bay date bahai tsumi rabbi mikari. He says, this tsumi rabbanani, this calls him a young Talmid Chochem, he never knew to say Afapichain. Bit of an Amar, it's this guy, he never knew that locha. Okay, Amar Rav Yudah, Amar Rav Nachman. So now the Gemara puts Aloha V'yam. Amar Rav Yudah, Amar Rav Nachman. Ne'eman Adam Lomar, Prus Vula Yabi Adi V'Avad. Sikha V'Avad Bimeni. He says, when a person's Ne'eman to say that Prus, but I had a Prus Bul and I lost it. So he said, so my time, what's the reason? He says, Kevan to Takin Rabbanan Prus Bul. Once Rabbanan had already instituted the dinner of Prus Bul, and therefore a person's got a way to get his debt back, but derech shayra without any problems, lo shavik etayra. The svara is a guy's not going to ignore etayra va'achil yisura. Why would he lie? Well, the guy's going to come and lie to me and tell me that he had a prusbul and he lost it. He obviously had a prusbul. Okay, we done the kafshut. He obviously had a prusbul. Look at Rashi over here. Rashi says the lo shavik etayra, the malve below prusbul lemeimer haveli va'avad va'achil yisura. So he said, now, Gemara is the story. A case happened when guys came to Rav. Amale, so look at Rav, say to him. He said, and the guy never had a prusbul. Right? That's, you know, there's a tosfot over here quickly. It's just a nice little tosfot. A beautiful little tosfot. Look at that tosfot there. Short tosfot that says, Lo shavik et rachli yisura. Omer ban utam, de mihai taima, neman afilu belo shvua. That's why I mean a shvua. Don't even have to make a shvua. Just tell me that you lost your prusbul, we believe you. Because why would you not? It's so easy to have a prusbul. Why would you not? Now, and the Gemara is the story of Rav went even one step further. Right? Amar Lei, so Rav says to the guy who never had a prusbul, he said, ah, midi prusbul ayalach va'avad. Right? He says, you obviously had a prusbul and you lost it. Didn't even wait for the guy to say you lost it. Rav said to him, you obviously had a prusbul and you lost it. He says, kegonze patach picha le'ilemhu. This is a classic case of helping the mute speak. The words we must put it in his mouth. We don't. We make all those are the assumptions. We say, "Stand up." We got a Mishnah. Gemara also Kasha over here. This is a Mishnah over here. V'chein bal chov shemotzi shtar chov. Says, and likewise, a bal chov who pulls out a contract, If anyone pulls bull, there's a mission that's completely opposite. Because there's kasher here, we got a mission that says a guy arrives with his star, he hasn't got a pruz bull, he doesn't pay on the star. So Gemara says Tanahi, it's a machloket Tanahim. The Tanya, Hamot Yishtar Chov Tzrich Shei Mo Pruz Bull. The Chachamim Rim, Eno Tzarich. It's a machloket Tanakam Rabbanan, machloket Tanahim, Tanakam says you have to have a star, Chachamim says you have to have a star, Eno Tzarich. Look at the last star of Rashi, the Neeman Lomar Avad. Because we believe the God that was Avad. That's the extent that Chachamim widened the scope of Pruz Bull. Even if you never had one, we believe you that you have one. And Rav says, even if you didn't say you lost it, we say, oh, you must have lost it. So really, it's virtually a no-brainer in terms of idea. So we see, Robert, we started with that very specific, you have to have land. Then we said, give him a piece of cabbage or give him pot plant, etc. In the end, even if you never got that, we're going to assume that you lost it. Okay, new Mishnah. Eved shenishbao pida'o. Now, this is a little bit trickier. So just, I know it's getting a little bit late here, but just try to follow me here. So Eved shenishba. So we got a Eved Knani, says Rashi, who belonged to a Jew. Because the only an Eved Kenani can only belong to a Jew, we'll see at the end of the Amud. Right? And he was taken captive. Somebody kidnapped him. Right? So Eved Shenishba Upedao, and somebody else came and redeemed him. So now Im Leshum Eved, if he redeemed him and the intentions were that the guy would go back to becoming an Eved, so Yishtabed, he goes back to becoming an Eved. The question is, to who? Who does he become an Eved to? To the guy who redeemed him or to the guy who he was captured from, kidnapped from? So Rashi says, let's leave Rashi in a moment. So now it's the Im Leshum Ben Chorin, and if you redeemed him so that you become free, lo yishtabed. He won't become an Eved. Rashbag omer, benkach o benkach, yishtabed. Rashbag says that whatever the case was, whether it was you redeemed him for l'shem avdut, or you redeemed him not l'shem avdut, it makes no difference. And beinkach uveinkach, says Rashbag, yishtabed, he stays an Eved. The Gemara says, now, b'maskin, what are we talking about? When you redeemed this guy, right, what was going on over here? Ilei melifnei yeush, if it was before his original owner had given up abandoned hopes on him, now he still thought he'd get him back, and in his mind he was still his Eved. So l'shum ben chorin, so then if you decided that you're redeeming him Leben Chorin, who says you can make a decision? My Lord, why shouldn't he go back to the guys? What grounds? The guy didn't abandon hope on him. So how can you decide he's going to go free? So therefore we must say that it must have been Elach HaYush. So we must speak about a situation where the original owner has already abandoned hope. And that's why he can give it. Well, if that's the case, L'shum Eved HaMai Shtabed. If the first owner's given up Yeush already, then on what grounds can you decide that you're going to redeem him to become an Eved again? Right? Eved Amai Yishtabed. Look at Rashi. L'shum Eved Amai Yishtabed. And here Rashi says, we think he's going back to the first owner. But why? He gave up, he's got Yayush. Already clear, the question clear. If it's L'shem Avdut and it's before Yayush, if it's before Yayush, so what do you mean B'nai Chorin? How can you decide the guy's going to go free? And if it's after Yayush, then why should he go back to become an Eved for the first guy? So we're going to look at Yabayah, Rav Abayah, L'olam Lifnei Yayush. Abayah says, no, we talk about before Yayush. This is the case over here is before Yayush, right? U'l'shum Eved Yishtabed L'rabo Rishon. And when we say L'shum Eved, we mean before Yayush and he goes back to the first master. And if you say L'shum Ben Chorin, Lo Yishtabed, and Yishtabed Lo L'rabo Rishon Lo L'rabo Shaini. Then you're right. Then you say, now how come it's before you? How can you decide that the guy doesn't go back to becoming an Eved, neither you or to the original owner? L'rabo Shaini Lo. You can't go to you, the Halashum Ben Echorim Parker, because you redeemed him on the purpose that he goes free. So you certainly can't claim as an Eved now. But why doesn't he go back to the original owner? L'rabo Rishonami Lo. Why? Dilmi Memane Velo Parke. What are we concerned about? An Eved, people might not want to redeem Avadim. Well, I'm going to waste my money redeeming an Eved. He's just going to go back to becoming an Eved. So if I'm not going to worry that they captured him, maybe he's better off with being captured when he's with the original owner. And guys won't go and redeem Avadim. So therefore we say, Makatakanis is Abaya, even as before Yayush, once he was taken into, if he was kidnapped or captured, in order to encourage people to redeem Avadim, remember in Eved Knani, he keeps mitzvahs like a woman. Right? So he keeps a certain amount of mitzvahs. If he's stuck with some god, let him keep mitzvahs. We want to free him. And if we send him back to the original master, guys might be not encouraged to or discouraged from redeeming Avadim. So therefore, Takana, even though it's before Yayush, he goes free. Rabban Shimon. So now we've got to ask ourselves, what did Rabban Shimon Gamliel? That's Tanakam in our Mishnah who said, but what did Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in the Mishnah say? He said, he says, however, he always goes back to becoming an Eved. So what does that mean? So why? He says, you know what? Because it's a mitzvah. That's why, look at Rashi. He isn't concerned about this idea because we're discouraged from redeeming. There's a mitzvah. We don't make cheshbonot redeeming. Rava says no. Rava says the olam lachar yush. It's not before yush, it's after yush. Ah, so if it's after yush, then why did you go back to the first guy? Right? Ulashum eved yishtabed l'rabo sheini. That's why. It doesn't go back to the first guy. Rashi said the havmina was, we thought we were talking about the first guy. He never goes back to the first guy if it's after yush, because the first guy gave up on him. But you went down, you redeemed him, he's yours. If you want an eved and you redeemed him, you can take him as an eved. And if it was l'shum ben chorin, lo yishtabed l'rishom l'rabo sheini. The Rabbi Shani, what not? Because I'll show Chorin Pirka, same as the answer we gave with Abaya, because that was you redeeming to go free. And Rabbi Rishon Nami lo wadacha Yush Abba, it's after Yush. So now if it's after Yush, then what's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel all about? He says, Bainkach uvenkach, Yishtabed. Yishtabed to who? If it's the first guy, it's after Yush. Right? And if it's the second guy, so you did it to live free. So he says, Nakede Chizkiya. He passes like Chizkiya, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Damar Chizkiya, Mevnamru, Ben Kachu, Ben Kach, Yishtabed. Shlo ye kol echad bechal lech, Mepeh, that's one of the guys, so mafkiya, so miyad rabo. He says, why do we do that, says Chizkiya? We don't want to have a loophole here for our vadim. What was Evid will know that if he gets captured, and a guy comes in a deemsing, and his master to give it up on Yahweh, he goes free. So how does Evid free himself? He runs away to the Goyim. And now he's in the Goyim's hands, he's kidnapped, and he waits for some good Jew to come and redeem him, because it's a mitzvah to redeem Avadim. And now he redeems him and he goes free. So says Chizkiya, to prevent that, we don't want that to happen. We say, if you do redeem him, you can redeem him in the shame Avdut, and you take him. Not the original owner, even though it's after Yayush. And now guys will want to redeem it. I get a cheap Eved, the guy gave up on him, a good slave, I redeem him, and he stays in Avdut. That's a discouraging element. Harta'ah. What's the word in English? How do you say harta'ah? Like, how do you say that?
Deterrent.
Deterrent. Thank you. That's a deterrent to prevent Avadim from running away. So, good morning, everybody. Zakashia. I think that we might have to stop here.